Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to Transforming Your Life with Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island psychic medium, also master healer, teacher, and inspirational speaker. I am so happy to be here today. What day are we on? Oh my goodness, we are on day 19 of my 30-day challenge. Sort of been a theme or a thread for a lot of the shows, sort of where they all tie in together. So if you're just joining me for the first time, and you might want to go back and listen to some of the previous shows, you know, in this 30-day challenge. There's lots of great shows in the archive, but this particular challenge is really a strong set of teachings, and there may be some challenge that you're having in your life that there's something that you'll hear that will really profoundly help you in some way. And that's what I'm all about. So I've talked about my story earlier in the challenge, and now I'm going to share a little bit about who I am, or really what is my mission. It's kind of interesting because I never really wanted to do this work. The first message I channeled at 19 I went into a spontaneous trance in my grandmother's kitchen. And even though I knew who I was channeling, because it was my grandmother's teacher and longtime compadre, as they would say in Portuguese, and it was her spiritual guru or her spiritual companion, and they did house clearings together and so forth. And even though I knew her since a very young child, probably actually she knew me before I was born, it still freaked me out that somebody could just take over my body like that. And she passed away when I was 15. And my grandmother and I can remember having this conversation after she passed away about who would get her gifts, because my grandmother said that, you know, the gift is passed on and somebody will get her gift. And so when I asked who would get it, my grandmother turned to me quite sharply and said, "You won't get it, you're too young." And I said, "Fine, because I don't want to do this anyway." And then 3 years later, I channeled T.L. Dina. And it took Spirit a long time to get me on my path. I mean, I delivered messages in between here and there, but not in sort of definitely not in the form that I do now. And it would be little things. So though I've delivered messages for many, many years, it wasn't in the capacity which I'm doing now. I'm just looking out the window here, and there is the most beautiful cardinal right in the middle of the rhododendron in front of my window. I just come to say hello. So I'm going to have to look up what the cardinal is, because everything around us means something. And you can overthink things, you know, but this guy is, he's really camouflaged well. And if it weren't for the fact that he's moving his head, I wouldn't even see him. So that's obviously meant to get my attention. And so going back to really what my purpose is here and what my mission is. My mission is pretty clear, and it's become more and more clear as I've gone deeper into learning about myself and deeper into really working and helping other people. So part of my mission is to bring to you information and that can help you in your soul's journey or soul's evolution. Also, and part of the big piece of that also is to help you in your daily life with all the things that I've learned over the so very many years. So even though I wasn't professionally out here sharing the message and so forth, I have always been studying and doing the work internally and figuring out what makes me tick and why my life is the way it is. One thing that happened very many years ago, and I think I talked about this a little bit, is I was seeing a card reader for a period of time in, I think it was 1989. Yeah, I did talk about this. And I would see her every single week. She told me a lot of things, and I gave my power over to her and really sort of followed everything she said minute by minute, we'll say. And that experience led me to make choices that I would not have made had I not been seeing her, particularly seeing her once a week. Because what happens, and I'm a really big, strong advocate about this, if you're seeing someone that frequently for readings, that person is really micromanaging your life, and you are giving up your free will and power to them to a big extent, particularly if you are following all of their advice. Now, I work in two different ways. When I do psychic work, I keep the limit to how often I will read people to twice a year. The only time I bend off of that rule is if something really big has happened in their life and they need support around it. When I coach, it's very different. I do not do psychic readings when I'm coaching. What I do is work with you where you are. I will look at your chart and see where it is that you want to go, and then formulate a plan of how to support you in going in the direction that your soul or your higher consciousness is intending. It's very different. And I'm really clear about those boundaries. So if you are someone who goes, or even if you go from psychic to psychic to psychic, or tarot card reader to different tarot card readers to psychic, your stuff does not change that fast. It just doesn't. The big things, for the most part, already in place. And if you're going with any regularity, even if you're not seeing the same person over and over again, then you are really creating a lot of karma for yourself. So really be clear about that and hear that, that you are really creating a lot of karma for yourself, because what happens is people tend to hinge every breath on what the readers are saying. And every reader is going to have a little bit different information, maybe a little piece to the puzzle. But the bottom line is they pretty much basically will all have the same, because the big pieces in your life are there and they're solid and, will all be accessing that same information. So really be mindful if you're one of those people who is a spiritual junkie and you're hopping around from psychic to psychic. Now, if you're seeing or working with someone, one particular individual, and you're seeing that person all the time, then shame on them, because it's like breaks the pirate's code, I'll say. I call it the pirate's code. It's not ethical, and you're both creating not very good karma. So think about that. So my mission is to educate people on what's a good balance in seeking psychic advice, and also to bring you guys as much as I know and as many tools as I have for you in your journey and in your life, so that your life can be better every day. Now, what you do with that is totally up to you. And I say this when I work with individuals or when I work with groups, and I had a group last night, and I always give homework. it's not like a thesis or anything. But I give homework, and in many cases. And so what happens, like last night when I can't remember how many people, but there were more than 10 people, and three or four of them in the group got a homework assignment. Whether or not they do the homework or choose to do it is not up to me, and it doesn't affect me in any way. So someone I suggested that they read Rhys Thomas's Discover Your Purpose book because she's struggling with a team player husband who's really stubborn. And so the more you know about each profile and what profile your partner is, the easier it is to deal with them on many levels. Because, or I shouldn't say deal with them. I'm going to retract that and say relate to them and be able to communicate more effectively. That's a much more accurate phrase. So she kind of made a little bit of a fuss, you know, and I said, hey, look, it's up to you whether you do it or not, because when I walk out that door, I go home to me and my life. You're going to go home to you and your life. What you choose to do with any information I give you here or any suggestions I make is totally up to you. If you know, if you're not interested in doing the work and helping yourself and your relationship, then why are you in the relationship? And that really makes people think, you know, because when people come to any events that I do or see me personally, 99% of the people who I see are really ready to do some kind of personal work, personal development, finding a new way to live in their life, getting tips and tools on how to deal with challenges more effectively. And really, the bottom line is it all comes down to wanting, we all want the same things in our life. We all want a feeling of peace. We all want harmony. We all want to be loved. That's the basic things that every single human on the planet want, even the most hardened criminals. They're a little bit further away from accessing it, but ultimately, that's all they want. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to feel like we're loved. And so the soul's journey is one of learning about compassion. The soul wants to learn about love, and it wants to learn about forgiveness. Each lifetime, you may be working on all three of those in the same life, or you may be working on just one of those elements. It really depends on what you decided to work on before you came. So we all sit down with this team of people, and you know, it can be your guides, your angels. It's actually kind of a combination who are agreed to watch over you in this lifetime, and they go through the things that you have put down. We'll say that you've made a notepad and you've made a list of the things that you want to work on. And I made a list that was pretty big because I wanted to clear a lot of karma this lifetime. And my guides and angels tried to insist that I cut down my list and not work on everything in this lifetime because it was five lifetimes full of karma to clear. But as a charismatic leader, team player, I'm a little stubborn. And I also think I can handle anything. So I said, no. This is what I'm going to do. So I put some really big things in my life path to deal with, to clear past life karma. And our imprint, because we're all vibration, we are all made of energy, and we know energy never evaporates or disappears, it just changes form. And, you know, scientifically, energy never just disappears. So if, you may be thinking, well, and if you're listening to this show, you're probably not thinking this, but you've encountered somebody in your life who says, well, I don't believe in past lives, or I don't believe that we, go our we have a soul, or and I just think we die. And it's interesting because I know a nurse actually who believes this, and all the years she's been in the field, and she's come to some of my gatherings, and I find it really interesting that she has that perspective. But she does, and that's okay, because I'm not here to convince anyone that what I do is real. I'm not here to persuade anyone or change anyone's beliefs. We have total free will. And if that soul, that person, is meant to wake up in this lifetime and come to a more spiritual understanding of life, they will. And then they often come back to me and say, oh my goodness, you were right. So for me, it's not about being right. It's about being accurate. It's about being authentic. And it's about being true to myself and true to the work that I do and everything that I have learned in the many decades of studying. So our imprint or our vibration or our soul quality, excuse me, is carried with us from lifetime to lifetime. The soul comes back because it wants to expand, it wants to get to another level. It wants to understand compassion more or love. And so it decides to come back to this earth plane. Now, there are lots of possibilities out there because there's our galaxy is huge and there's lots of other galaxies that we're discovering now. So there's a lot of possibilities that there may be other places, other planets, whatever, that we could choose to incarnate in. I'm open, definitely open to that. But you are here now, and you've chosen this particular time and this particular place. And the Earth is a really difficult choice, and a lot of souls don't want to come here. They've either been here, done that, they don't want to come back, or they don't want to come at all because it is a place where you will experience lots of physical and spiritual challenges. It's a place where we will be tested to our core. There are some people out there who have chosen a lifetime, and this may be one for you, where you've chosen a lifetime that's easier. So your life just glides along. You know, it seems like you have everything in your life. And oftentimes that will be after you've had a really rough lifetime and you need a break. So you'll come back maybe to experience a lifetime that is gentler, we'll say, and that you have the things that you need and things that you want. It's funny, Siri is on the table with me, my phone, iPhone. And all of a sudden, now Siri is temperamental. Oftentimes when I say, hey Siri, it doesn't pay any attention to me. And I have to say it 3 or 4 or 5 times. And sometimes it still never turns on because it's voice activated Siri. And so as I'm sitting here talking, I didn't say anything about Siri or hey Siri. All of a sudden I notice Siri is recording. When I want it to work, she doesn't. And then when she does it randomly, we'll just start, you know, recording like. And so when she does that, it's because you're typically asking a question or asking her to find a phone number or call somebody or whatever. And then, it proceeds. So, but she was just recording the conversation. So I don't know. I should have let it go and see what she was going to do with it. What if she was going to pull up a website or something. Pretty funny. So, back on track. So the soul and the vibration and the energy of the soul never disappears. And so the vibration then from every lifetime that every single one of us has experienced on this earth is then sort of implanted
into the earth, into the energy field. And everything that has ever happened on the earth is also in its energy field. You may find that if you've done any past life regression, or you know, if you feel like there's two ways that you can look at deja vu. Some people have the theory that deja vu is when you get a glimpse that you're on chart. And then other people have the theory that it's familiar because the same vibration or feeling occurred in a past life. So I'm not sure which one I really believe 100%, and I feel like they both could be somewhat true. I do feel, though, that your soul has a particular character, and that does not change from lifetime to lifetime. Your purpose changes from lifetime to lifetime, but your soul character, your soul quality is always the same. So when I'm working with people doing mediumship, it's really, really amazing how when their loved ones come through, I can describe them, I can explain, you know, what they looked like, what they feel like, what their attitude was, if they were funny. There was one guy last night that showed up wearing two different color shoes, and the person immediately knew who it was. So they'll come with these funny things that they've done in life, and you know, and they also come with their personality and with their soul quality. So the soul quality never changes. So if you're a charismatic leader, you are going to be a charismatic leader in all of your lifetimes because your soul has come to experience and expand from that perspective, that point of view. And it's come add to the planet from that point of view. Now, our life purpose or mission changes from lifetime to lifetime. And so how we are in the world, how, and you know, go this often, if we look at the defense, we have a defensive character, I'm going to say, that we have picked up or learned through growing up. For many women have picked up people pleaser defense because we were expected to do things whether we wanted to do them or not in our families. And so that is a learned behavior, and that's a learned defense that we have adopted. It's what we've chosen to take on. Maybe you have a big rule keeper where it's adamant about keeping the rules. So there's different elements that give you your life experience and what your individual lifetime is, what you're here for to sort of conquer or whatever, what your flair or signature is. The soul is always there to cheer us on, no matter what is going on in our lives. Even how difficult. So if you're a person who can be a thick head like me and you keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result, your soul is not in the background being the inner critic saying, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing that again. How many times are you going to try that until you realize it's not going to work? Your soul is in the background going, oh good, you're trying this again. Maybe you'll get it this time. Your soul is your biggest cheerleader. And it's often the most overlooked. It really is often the most overlooked part of ourselves. So how do you nourish your soul? How do you figure out what your soul wants in this lifetime? What is your journey? What does it want to learn? Well, you can look back in your life and take an inventory or make an assessment of the difficult things in your life, and that will give you the information to understand what your soul is trying to learn. So if you've been victimized a lot in your life, if you feel that you've been a victim of in relationships, or if you've been physically victimized, or if you've gotten robbed, something like that, that's being victimized. So what would a victim, somebody who chooses to be victimized before they incarnate, what would that soul be here to learn? Most likely, forgiveness. Because as we're victimized, we have the choice to stay a victim in our minds or to transmute it and to learn real forgiveness. And that can be your soul's purpose, just to learn forgiveness. And in that, you may become the biggest guru on teaching forgiveness. It's not necessary that you go out into the world and bring your guru to thousands of people. Bring your guru to yourself. Bring your guru to your family. So when I say bring your guru, I mean living in your core of that element and live, breathe, eat, and sleep forgiveness. Now, you're going to have challenges no matter how much you do the work, no matter how many times you forgive. There's always going to be things that come up in your life that's going to give you another opportunity to go to a deeper level. That's just the nature of this human plane. The key is never to give up. Keep on going. I was really blessed in my life. Well, you know, because we all pick our parents and our families. And we pick our parents and our families so they will wound us perfectly, so that we can get on our life path and do our work. Yep, you got it. So if you say, oh, I would never pick my parents, I really want you to take a deep look and look at, even if you had the worst parent, what was the best thing about it? What was the worst thing about it? And what did you learn from it? And how did it shape your life? Because we choose the parents to shape our lives as children growing up to get us to the place and the experiences that our soul is charting for and to have things to work on. You know, this is a school here. This isn't, coming to summer camp where it's play all the time. It's a school. It's a life school. And everything that you do in school is recorded, just like when you were in elementary school, whether it's how you behaved in class or what your grades were, how you interact with the other kids, so forth. It's all recorded. That recording sets the vibration or sets a new vibration into the earth. So what is your vibration and what are you recording now? And what direction are you ready to move into? Maybe you feel like, I pretty much kind of got the forgiveness thing down. Now I'm working on love. And if you've chosen a lifetime to come in and you're working on love, then you are going to get really great opportunities to how great love can be and how much love can hurt. Because when you think of the heart and think of love, the heart has the opportunity to expand and get bigger with every time that it's hurt. I love The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. If you have never seen The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, and I like the cartoon one the best because it's got a really great visual where he steals the Christmas from the Whoville, and then something happens, and his heart grew three sizes that day, and he heralds down into the Whoville and brings Christmas back and even carves the roast beast, right? So that is really perfect example of how the heart works. So you get into a relationship or you get into this crazy family that withholds love or that, really hurts your heart in some way. And sometimes people can get stuck in that and then come to the belief that they're not worthy of love. Or they can, they just stay stuck in, well, my parents did this, my parents didn't love me. And so they have a hard time moving beyond that and getting to the sole purpose of really experiencing and understanding the mission of love. Because love is not the romantic lover, it's just not. Romantic love is just a piece of it. There's three levels of love. We fall in love and everything's good. And then a couple years in, maybe a couple of years, maybe 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, whatever. For some people, it's even longer. Maybe at 20 or 25 years, you're going, what am I doing in this marriage? I'm getting no love. And that can be the perfect experience to either show you that you really can be in a better situation and that you can find love somewhere else. I mean, if you're asking for something over and over again from your partner and you're not getting it, then you really have to take a real clear assessment if you're ever gonna get it, and how much you really need it, and if love and you feel like you're not being loved, and how you want to be loved, then it might be time to take a look at the relationship and step away. I feel like sometimes people step away without ever doing their own internal work. And then they step into another relationship, and 5 years or 10 years down the road, they're in the same boat, and the same problems or issues are coming up. Because it's always about us. It's never really about the other person. It may be that you chose a narcissist, somebody who's always putting you down, who's negative, because that was what your family of origin was like. And we go to what feels familiar and what feels comfortable to us until we learn something different. Because your soul does not choose to expand itself on narcissism or negativity. Chooses and wants to expand in compassion, love, or in forgiveness. But that experience will show you exactly what you don't want. Because there's always two sides to the coin. Sometimes we have to experience what we don't want so that we can begin to understand what it is that we do want. And oftentimes it takes some effort on the individual part to figure that out and then find a direction and find the right people to bring into your life to assist you in changing and in bringing you new information. The one singular thing that made the difference for me in my life was I grew up in a really negative, critical, narcissistic family. And I didn't know any better. I thought everybody's family was like that. Until my daughter was 6 months old and I took a parenting class. And taking that parenting class, I learned a lot. But it didn't all sink in that 6 weeks that I took the class. So I'd taken the class, I can't remember the time frame. I don't even think she was 6 months. I think she was 6 weeks old. I'm sorry, not 6 months old. So I take this parenting class. And, she was 6 months old. So the following summer, now this is a year later, the following summer, I'm at my grandmother's house, my mother's mother. And we're having a, Sunday traditional gathering. It's summertime. We got a barbecue going on. So my grandmother's sisters come, my mother, my aunt, my cousins, there's bunches of us there, my kids. And as I'm sitting there, I just start observing everyone and how they're interacting. And I had never heard of critical parenting before that. But what I came to realize was that my whole family comes from a line of critical parenting. And I don't know how far back it goes, but I suspect on my mother's side of the family, it goes back pretty darn far. I saw three generations there that all had the same type of behavior. And so I then had to make a choice. And I made the choice at that point. I can remember it like it was yesterday, saying, oh my God, this family is full of critical parents. And they've all parented critically. And the buck stops here. I will not continue this behavior in my family with my children. And it was a struggle because you fall back into what you know. So it was constant work of stepping out of that paradigm and going against my tribe or my family. And when you do that, when you step outside the tribe and decide that you're going to do something differently, your tribe will very often rebel. When that happens, you know you're on the right path because they don't like change, and then they don't know where their place is in the family anymore because there's like a hierarchy, and it often, goes on birth order, but it also can go on whatever your core profile is, because the charismatic leader in the family is going to run the show. And often there will be if you have, there will be one parent, there has to be one parent who is a charismatic leader. So you may have other siblings who are also charismatic leaders. But only one person can be in charge. So the other people who have charismatic leader profile in a family, like I come from five kids, my older brother is a charismatic leader, team player like I am. My youngest sister is a team player, charismatic leader, but she is totally in defense and does not. She is a great example of a perfect storm, and what you don't want to be is a charismatic leader, a team player. And then my middle sister and my brother James, who passed, were more leaned on the creative idealist, knowledgeable achiever. And so it's interesting because to see the difference between the two middle kids and my older brother and I, and then the youngest sister, where we took on similar profiles, but the younger two took on the other parent's combination of profiles. So that's pretty interesting. But when you are breaking your tribe patterns, then the tribe gets upset. And they'll do everything to pull you back in because they don't want you to change. They don't want the order upset. But what in fact is the most important thing is that you keep going. Because you are the person who was put into that tribe, into that family, to make the shift and show them that something can be better and that things can change and it's okay. So you are the catalyst. So embrace being the catalyst, like I'm the catalyst in my family. And my dad's side of the family totally loves what I do and has totally embraced it. My mother's side of the family, totally opposite. You know, they only think it's cool when they have a problem or with one of their friends have a problem, and then they need me. For example, my older brother, Kevin, he never says anything bad about what I do because he actually has the gift as well. But his fiance, however, doesn't have the same sort of opinion. And so when she's around, and one day they were actually over when I was on the radio, the two of them, knowing I was on the air, are in the background going on about what nonsense and how can she talk to dead people and whatever. So my brother-in-law is a people pleaser. And whatever the fiance sort of goes with, he'll go along with because, you know, he lives with her. He doesn't live with me. So it's pretty interesting. But people will come around. So a short time after that, he calls me up and says, hey, my friend needs some help. He's having a really hard time at his house, and things are being thrown around the house and being broken. Can you come? Of course I said yes. So there I go. So he has a different perspective now because he actually stayed for the entire time where I did the clearing. And he has a better understanding of what I do and a new respect for my life and what I do in the world. So don't let your family be your deterrent for living your life's purpose, for creating your own path and your own journey, for breaking the mold, because we're put into families to do just that. If you're listening to this show, you are your change agent in your family. That's the bottom line. People are only attracted to this work when they are, encouraged is not the right word that I want, when they are inspired to learn new things, to do something better, to improve their lives. And it can be on many levels. It can be spiritually, it can be your health, but also ultimately, it all comes back to your soul and what your soul has come here to learn, what its mission is. And it's really, really simple. We complicate as humans. We tend to complicate everything. So if you're learning compassion, you may draw experiences into your life where there's a lot of drama. And so when at some point you go, oh my goodness, look at all this drama. And look at all these people who are in this drama. I have so much compassion for them and for their journey. How difficult a life it is to be embroiled in drama. That may be your soul's purpose this lifetime. Do you have a lot of drama in your life? Have you been really victimized in your life? Then your mission is forgiveness. Have you had one heartbreak after another? Then your mission is love. Simple as that. And maybe you're working on all three in this lifetime, like I am. That's a pretty big life. It's a pretty big mission. And it means that you're going to have lots of opportunities and experiences to be love, to be compassion, to be forgiveness. And it's not going to be perfect because we are human, right? And this human existence is hard. And so sometimes it's going to be really hard. And sometimes you might want to quit. But I encourage you and I urge you to know that it's worth it. I've had three very clear times in my life when I wanted to quit. Now, looking back, I'm so glad that there was something, a bigger force than me, or my spirit, my connection to spirit, which has always been very strong, that helped me stay in this physical existence. Because had I quit, I wouldn't be here with you today. And I'm not saying that I'm all there is, because there are lots of wonderful and amazing teachers out there. What I am saying, though, is that because of the lifetime that I've chosen and what my soul journey is, I do have lots to offer. And the world would be missing that. If you've chosen to come and incarnate in this lifetime, right now, whatever you are bringing is so important for this Earth's evolution. So really let that sink in. What are you doing to add to the vibration of the Earth? Are you adding positive or are you adding negative? When you have this big inner critic who that tape is running all the time in your head, it's like that voice in your head, and you're constantly criticizing yourself. Oh, you pass by the mirror and cringe. Or you put on a pair of jeans and they don't fit today. And that voice is going in your head, oh, well, you know, you'll never be skinny. Or whatever. Oh, look at those wrinkles. Oh my God, can't you get yourself together? That vibration is being sent out to everybody around you and sent out into the earth and into the universe. And it's not easy to reprogram that voice and reset it. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of energy to break out of what you are accustomed to to break the mold of your family, to break the mold of your inner critic, your ego mind, and to expand around it and above it and become the marvelous and amazing human being that you intended to be when you incarnated here on this earth. So I really encourage you to do a deep evaluation and that to take a look at what it is that your soul's mission is here on this lifetime. Sorry, I was just distracted. I'm looking in the chat room. Hey, Sandy. Hey, I love that you're here. And I'll be in touch with you about the 10. And I'm really glad to hear that Blue is okay. So Blue is my friend Sandy's dog who eats everything. She had an obstruction. And so I'm glad that she's okay. And that sort of gave the break to lighten up because the show is coming to a close. And I feel like I was a little disjointed today in my delivery. So I hope that you guys can stick with it and get what you need out of it. I had a big night last night. I didn't get home until 12:30 in the morning from the group that I was with last night. And so I'm a little disjointed today. It always takes me a couple of days to recover. I do want to thank you so much for being here. And I'd like to thank from my heart to all my loyal listeners who come back time and time again to listen, to be supportive, and to share your experiences with us, and to share your love and compassion and everything, all the space that you hold for everyone on this journey. I really honor you, and I thank you, and I'm so blessed for having so many wonderful listeners and people in my life. Check out my website, CynthiaFontaine.com. You'll find my social media links there. You can also book a session directly with me there. I also do coaching, private, and I teach classes as well. And if you'd like to host me, think about hosting me in your town or city. Let me know, send me a message, and we can discuss how that can happen. I love you all so very much. Have a beautiful and blessed day. Remember, think about what is the journey of your soul? What is its mission? I will talk to you tomorrow.
Never felt so high, and I think I might have found me my own kind of paradise. When you lose yourself, you find